Welcome back, friends. So let's do a little compare and contrast. Scholastic theology. And for some of us, we are more comfortable there, is where we understand divine truths. Absolutely Aquinas would be there. Not always, right? His beautiful songs on the Eucharist is poetry and that sort of thing. We're now in heavily to the mystical, in mystical theology. And as one definition will hold, or they will hold the definition, mystical theology is divine truths that are understood and at the same time enjoyed. So you can know them and enjoy them at the same time. And that's true. The devil can know all the scholastic and theology, but
he'll never. That's right. Right. He will never get pleasure from them.
That's correct.
It's like screeching and fingernails on the chalkboard, right?
It's true. That's very true. So a selected quote, and those that mirror off of our theme of garden. Paragraph 4. O woods and thickets planted by the hand of my beloved, O green meadow, coated bright with flowers, tell me, has he passed you by? Pouring out a thousand graces, he passed these groves in haste, and having looked at them with his image alone, clothed them in beauty. So there's that first sense. So when I'm teaching scripture or when we engage a work, right, we get the background, we get our own sense of the words, our own impression. But then John of the Cross, God bless him, gives you his understanding of his camp with this commentary. And so when we're dealing with people who are geniuses of some in whatever field, you know, they see their work. So we're about to read John of the Cross's commentary. Just because we heard something different does not necessarily mean it's wrong, right? We're just recognize he's just so talented in our own particular situation, we're applying it. Okay. So commentary. The chief object of the soul in these words is not to ask only for that effective and sensible devotion, wherein there is no certainty or evidence of his possession of the bridegroom in this life, but principally for that clear presence and vision of his essence, of which it longs to be assured and satisfied in the next. This too is the object of the bride, who in the divine song, desiring to be united to the divinity of the bridegroom, word prayed to the Father, saying, show me where you feed, where you lie in the midday. For to ask to be shown the place where he fed was to ask to be shown the essence of the divine word, the Son. Because the Father feeds nowhere else but in his only begotten Son, who is the glory of the Father. In asking to be shown the place where he lies in the midday was to ask for the same thing, because the Son is the sole delight of the Father, who lies in no other place and is comprehended by no other thing but in and by his beloved Son, in whom he reposes wholly, communicating to him his whole essence in the midday, which is eternity, where the Father is ever begetting and the Son ever begotten. This pasture, then, is the bridegroom word, where the Father feeds in infinite glory. He is also the bed of flowers, whereupon he reposes with infinite delight of love, profoundly hidden from all mortal vision and every created thing. This is the meaning of the bride's soul when she says, where have you hidden yourself? Hence, St. Augustine says, I found you not without, O Lord. I sought you without in vain, for you are within. God is therefore hidden within the soul, and the true contemplative will seek him there in love, saying, where have you hidden yourself? It brings a special happiness to a person to understand that God is never absent, not even from a soul in mortal sin, and much less from one in a state of grace. If God were absent, there would be no existence. One good in hell is existence. It's not annihilation.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the primordial good, right? Being is the quintessential goodness of God.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that's it's so interesting because you know, to God loves you enough to allow you to be in hell. I often think that we on earth don't love people enough for that. We can't detach ourselves enough from their own bad choices that we prefer to attach ourselves to them. You know what I mean? We would rather be attached to their bad choices lest we lose them than to be detached from them, their bad choices, and then also lose them. But God is perfectly able to detach himself from all of our bad choices and to love us enough to allow us to go to hell. And it's interesting too how he was just talking about, you know, just finding God. You know, we're always, especially as sensual creatures, we're always looking for that next level of pleasure. And so instead of seeking happiness, which is only found within, right? Happiness cannot be brought to the human person from without. Right? Happiness is an interior disposition that one feels. I mean, it doesn't come from the outside in, right? I mean, you know, somebody stroking your cheek is a pleasure that comes from the outside in, but happiness, that's not happiness, right? And I think that we really, that Satan is very, very capable of that counterfeit. And yet he's very clear, you know, you have to look for him. St. Augustine, you know, I looked for you everywhere, except I was afraid to look inside. And that's where you are. So.
Paragraph 22. The bride has entered the sweet garden of her desire, and she rests in delight, laying her neck on the gentle arms of her beloved. So from the commentary, we find the stanza quoted, and then we look for the corresponding commentary. The bride has entered. The spiritual marriage is incomparably greater than the spiritual betrothal. So he's talking about different stages of the spiritual life. For it is a total transformation in the beloved, in which each surrenders the entire possession of self to the other with a certain consummation of the union of love. The soul thereby becomes divine. God, through participation, insofar as it is possible in this life. And thus I think that this state never occurs without the souls being confirmed in grace. For the faith of both is confirmed when God's faith in the soul is here confirmed. It is accordingly the highest state attainable in this life. Right, we talk about glimpses of God.
That's interesting, that imagery of the betrothal as opposed to the bridal. You know, so many of us, it is such a profoundly different change that is only knowable by somebody who has lived a life of virtue. You know, we in a modern world where everything is all about experientialism, and I actually think that that's a huge problem that we have right now, is that people feel that they have to experience something to be able to understand it. But we have become awash in sensuality, so that for the most part, the consummation, shall we say, precedes the betrothal. And so, and as a result, then we've really lost the beauty in a lot of ways of that imagery that John of the Cross articulates so beautifully. Where was, is that, does that come in from Song of Songs? What is he doing in meditation on there?
The, it's his poetry, and it's in the spiritual canon.
Right, so it's his own poetry where he's writing this out. Could you read again just the, what he said about the verse that came from?
Oh, yes. The bride has entered the sweet garden of her desire, and she rests in delight, laying her neck on the gentle arms of her beloved. And you're hitting, so part of this expression of this desire, presence of God within the Middle Ages. The most commentary, or at least I've heard this said so many times, and like you, I'd like to track it down, but I have not, is that the commentary book is the Song of Songs.
Song of Solomon.
Because of this beauty, the mystical union of the soul. So John of the Cross will quote from that book often, very heavy, as will Teresa of Avila and other mystics that way. It's really
because it's as though the modern world, you know, we keep stealing the fruits of the labor of others. So we don't have, and when you do that, there's no satisfaction in the fruit. You know, like everybody wants what they want, but they don't want to do the work that gets there. And then when they have what they wanted, they have no joy in it.
That's right. All right, my friends, we'll pick up in the next episode with more of the commentary, because I think his commentary helps us to see really the mind of John of the Cross. Till then, my friends, be there.